Good morning. This is listener-supported Christian radio, KBJS, in Jacksonville, Texas. We're 90.3 FM on the radio dial. You can also listen to us anywhere in the world by going to www.kbjs.org. On the screen there, click on Listen Live. What's a run-down, ragged mom to do? Your spirit yearns to soar, but your feet and faith are stuck in the diaper-by-diaper mud of everyday responsibilities. How can you demuck when you're chronically exhausted? Humorist Deborah Cody has the answer in her April release, the book called Mom Needs Chocolate. In Mom to Mom, smile-provoking style, Deborah Cody paints her offbeat picture of reality with a tangy twist while offering outrageous coping tips, off-the-wall insights, sisterly hugs, and warm encouragement. With witty frankness and wild abandon, she tackles the extremes of marriage, horror of embarrassing children, defeat and re-defeat of depression, aging gracefully or gracefully, and a veritable grocery list of other mud-between-your-toes issues. Cody's mission is simple. Help women hear God's still, small voice above blathering kids, howling pets, and snarling traffic. Deborah Cody is the author or contributor to several books, including Mom Needs Chocolate, Hugs, Humor, and Hope for Surviving Motherhood. She's a resident of Florida, where she lives with her husband, and Cody raised two children and enjoyed a dedicated career as an occupational therapist before beginning to chase her God-given dream of writing. She's known for communicating sound biblical concepts with a refreshing, lighthearted style. Her writings can be read in her monthly newspaper column, Grace Notes, God's Grace for Everyday Living. Learn more at her website, www.deborahcody.com. Deborah is spelled D-E-B-O-R-A, and Cody is C-O-T-Y. D-E-B-O-R-A-C-O-T-Y. www.deborahcody.com. Deborah, good to have you with us on KBJS.
Hi, Randy. Good morning.
Good morning. Now, where are you right now?
I'm in a suburb of Tampa.
Okay. So it's kind of hot there, too, huh?
It's warm here. Warm and muggy, but I think you guys have it a little worse than we do.
Yeah. It seems like you have chronic mugginess, though, I would think.
Well, that's true. We Tampa. Do indeed. I have the Chia Pet here to prove it.
I guess it's good for Chia Pets, huh?
Yeah, I guess it is. Most of us look like that anyway.
Wow. Wanted to ask you this about your website. If our listeners go to DeborahCody.com, what will they find there?
Well, they'll find all kinds of good things. I have some fun things. I have a contest there that's great. It has to do with Mom Needs Chocolate. It's called the Chuck Out Contest. And if they send me a picture of them devouring their favorite chocolate treat, they can win wonderful prizes, including a dinner for two and all kinds of good chocolate-related stuff. There's also descriptions and excerpts from all my books. I have 8 books out currently, 3 more coming down the chute within the next few months. And there's just all kinds of great stuff on there. And I'd be happy to return any emails if anyone wants to communicate with me. I try to make sure I return all my messages.
Okay. And the email address is?
It's dcody@earthlink.net. And you can get to it right through the website there at deborahcody.com.
Okay, great. Patsy Claremont, Women of Faith speaker and author of Catching Fireflies and a lot of other books as well. Patsy Claremont says, fatigued, frenzied, fragile. Sidle up to Deborah's chocolate-covered chapters on life, love, and loony liaisons, and laugh your way back into a place of peace. What in the world gave you the idea to write the book Mom Needs Chocolate?
Well, I do have 2 children, and I have 6 miscarriages, which I'm very candid about. I try to be as real as I can in the book, and life's not a bowl of cherries sometimes, and I want to make sure that listeners and readers know that I'm not trying to gloss over and say that, you know, bad things don't happen sometimes, because they do. But as I was going through my children's young, as a young mother of my children, I just kept running into women that were just burned out. And just, I have a distinct memory of standing at the front door of my house when my kids were little. My sister was leaving. She had just dropped in for a visit. My arms were full of laundry, yet to be sorted, and the dog was scratching at my leg to go out, and one of my kids was screaming bloody murder over a broken toy. And I remember looking at my sister desperately and saying, "Where did the joy go? I don't even remember when it left, but where did it go? You know, I used to cry out for joy, and now I just cry."
Yeah.
And, you know, I just ran into more and more mothers who were kind of in the desperate situation of having lost touch with the joy of the Lord.
Yeah.
And it just tends to, you know, we tend to park it on our doorstep with all the stress that we have in everyday life and busyness, and we can get our feet stuck in the muck of what I call the joy-sucking dully funks.
Yeah.
And we just get just on that spiritual level of just dullness.
Mm.
It just perpetually just goes on.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what I'm trying to do, is to help moms get out of that and to see that there is light at the end of that tunnel.
Yeah, and just to know that the Bible says rejoice evermore. If you tell that to somebody that's in the funk, you know, it doesn't really help a whole lot right then at that moment.
No, it doesn't. But, you know, it's so true. Nehemiah says the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, but we just have to try to remember how to tap into that strength. And to, you know, help it, have it help us, bolster us when we need it the most.
Well, is it just your natural personality, or are you somehow, did you have to learn to stay upbeat despite the craziness of life?
I think everybody does. I'm not really a type A personality. I'm more like an A minus. But I think, you know, it is something that everyone has to strive to do when you're in parenthood. I'd say I include dads, because I get a lot of letters from dads whose wives leave "Mom needs chocolate" in the bathrooms, and because I guess I'm a potty writer, whether I like it or not. They're short chapters, so that designed that way, so people can have their quick devotionals and pick me ups.
Yeah, there's 60 chapters. There's 60 chapters in 236 pages.
Yes. So they're short and sweet, and there's even some questions at the end. You know, there's scriptures to apply to real life, which is what the whole point of the book is. But I get letters from dads who say, you know, why you say Mom needs chocolate? This is a great book. I loved it. I say dads need chocolate every bit as much. And it is so true.
Absolutely.
And the chocolate referred to is not just the physical chocolate, which, of course, is not the answer to all of our problems, but, oh, it sure does help. But
especially M&M's, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
What's your favorite chocolate?
Well, I have to say, I'm a Cadbury girl.
Cadbury, okay.
But I do love Godiva, and, you know, just about anything. I would never turn down even a Hershey bar or Tootsie Roll, you know, whatever. But, you know, the point of the chocolate in the title is that we do need comfort sometimes,
yeah.
And we need that little pick-me-up. And we need a little stimulation, especially when our lattes are not available. And, you know, those are things we can get from Papa God, not just from the physical chocolate.
Yes. So your adrenals are doing all the work they can do, huh? it's really interesting how a little bit of chocolate does help. In fact, my mom's got a jar of chocolate in her kitchen. Whenever you come over to visit Mom, you know, you have to have a little bit of chocolate.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I have stashes all over my house. You know, we don't. It's one of those elephants in the room. We don't talk about it. If somebody runs into one of my stashes, they just quietly, you know, overlook it, put it back. And, you know, that's Mom's thing.
Put the chocolate back and nobody will get it.
That's right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Okay. We're talking this morning with Deborah Cody. And Deborah is D-E-B-O-R-A. Cody is C-O-T-Y. How many announcers spell your name out, by the way, on your interviews?
Well, my mother, I think she was so drugged up by the time she had me that she forgot the H on the back of Deborah. And so it's been misspelled my entire life. Even the driver's license people charge me $5 to spell my name correctly because they always, you know, put an H on there. And I have to go back and say, could you please take the H off?
But that makes you special, see?
Special, that's one way to put it.
Yeah, it's kind of like my name is Featherston, and everybody puts an E on, a lot of people put an E on the end of Featherston. That would be Featherstone, you know, so
that's
it's not.
That's right, that's
anyway.
Right.
But, well, I understand that you came to the writing life a little later than some, and you have a diehard love of the book Christy by Catherine Marshall.
Yes.
Tell us a little about your journey to become an author.
Started 6 years ago. I consider myself the poster child for late bloomers and people who follow their dreams despite everything else that's happened in their lives. And I think if God plants a desire in your heart to do something, then you should do it regardless of how old you are or what's happened in your life. I was an occupational therapist for 30 years and a piano teacher for 20. But back when I was a child, I loved to read. I loved to read. And as a teenager, I devoured Christie by Catherine Marshall 9 times.
Hmm.
And it just changed
you
my
read it
faith.
9 times?
I did.
Wow.
It changed my heart.
Yeah,
it
you really
changed,
lived this book.
I did. I loved it. I took it right inside me. It became part of my guts. And it changed my faith. And it planted in me a seed that maybe one day I would like to write a book that would touch other people's hearts the way Christie had touched mine.
Mm.
And I really thought, I want to be a writer one day. Well, life happened, of course, as it tends to, and that dream got kind of shoved to the back burner. Fast forward 30 years, after my careers as an occupational therapist and piano teacher, my youngest was about to leave the nest, and I was sitting in a dentist office at age 45. And I was praying at the moment about what I should do with my life at that point. I felt like there was something missing, and I just didn't know what it was. There was something I was supposed to do.
Now, were you married with children at that time?
Yes. Mm-hmm. My youngest was leaving for college.
Mm-hmm. And, I guess you were.
Yeah. And so I reached down for this magazine and just randomly opened it, and there was an ad for a writer's contest.
Hmm.
And the light bulb went on inside my head. I said, oh, my goodness, is that it? Could that be what I'm supposed to do now? And I prayed about it, and I strongly felt led that God was saying, yep, it's time. It's time to follow your dreams. So I found a friend of a friend of a friend who became a mentor to me. She had had a few pieces published in magazines, Christian magazines, and I knew I wanted to write for the Lord, and everything I write is inspirational. Well, almost everything. I've had a few pieces in trade journals for occupational therapy, but so I started writing, and basically, because of her influence, I was able to have 10 magazine articles published that first year, and then that went on to be a monthly newspaper column, and then that went on to books. And I've just been so blessed with 11 book contracts so far, and God opens the doors, and I just walk through them by the seat of my pants. I don't have a clue what I'm doing.
11 book contracts in 6 years?
Yes, that's amazing, isn't it? It's just so, all the glories to the Lord. There's no way. I'm the perfect example of him using, you know, his total strength is what did it. You know, absolutely nothing on my own. His power is perfected in our weakness, 2 Corinthians 12:9.
Yes. Well, you seem like you're full of the Word.
I'm full of something.
11 book contracts in 6 years. Well, you're pretty prolific. Interviewing other authors of novels especially, it's interesting how a lot of times they have an idea of what they're going to have the book about, and they have a general outline of where they're going, but they start writing the book, and they find the characters actually come alive to them, and they don't know where the book's going. The characters seem to take them where they're going.
That is so true. It's an amazing phenomena that you can't really explain to people. I do writing workshops all over the place. And that's something that people, they always have this totally puzzled look on their face when you say that. My first book was a novel, The Distant Shore, and it was based on the true story of an amazing journey of faith of a young girl who was actually the grandmother of a friend of mine. Mm. It took place in 1904 on remote, untamed Merritt Island, which was inaccessible except by boat at that time off the Florida coast. And, you know, and that's exactly what happened. I had a general outline. I would draw the character. You do very strong character stretches, sketches, so you know those characters inside and out, and then you bring them in your head, you put them in the setting, and you turn them loose, and they act out the story for you.
Become
it's
real.
Amazing.
Yeah. Did you have little imaginary friends while you were growing up?
I didn't, but I do as an adult.
It's never too late to be a child.
We just don't talk about that.
It's never too late to not grow up, yes. By the way, Christie by Catherine Marshall, that was a great book, and I wonder, since you read it so many times and just practically lived through the book, I would imagine when the TV show came out, Christie, that wasn't quite the deal.
I was a purist.
A little bit disappointed with that?
As you can imagine, I was a purist about the characters and the storylines. And I had a bit of a hard time. I was very upset about the way some of the characters were portrayed. And they grew on me, except for Tyne Daly's portrayal of Miss Alice. I just couldn't ever quite embrace that. But the other characters were wonderful, and they all grew on me to the point where I loved them.
Yeah. Well, there's such hope You know, when you say, oh, Christy, a TV show, you know, this is great. And you approach it, but there's no way that they could put on film what is in the book, the characterization in the book, or the words, you know.
Exactly.
There's just no way that they could portray that.
And something about, and everybody has a book like that in their life where the words jump off the page and they embed themselves in your very soul. Mm-hmm. And that's the book that first did that for me. And I'll always be grateful to God for that, because I was at a crux point as a teenager when I first read that book, and it really swung me in the direction of living for the Lord.
Oh, that's terrific. Well, look, tell us about how did you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as more than just a historical figure?
I was very fortunate and blessed to be raised in a Christian family. And my parents were just wonderful to, lead us, both my sister and myself, to strong relationships with the Lord at an early age. I accepted Him as my Savior at age 9, and I've been pretty much living for Him ever since then, sometimes a little more vehemently than than other times. But, you know, it's those rough patches that really get to you. I've had several points in my life where I was pretty much rock bottom with my faith, and I've had to, you know, question. After my series of 6 miscarriages, I had a depression of 2 years. And, I speak about that really candidly in the book, and how I even try to share some tips on women and who are going through that sort of situation, because I think everybody deals with depression and loss and trying to grapple with the bottom line of their faith. Is God real? Is He there? Is He listening? Am I important to Him? And, you know, you have to come to those conclusions really in order to carry on and go to the next step in your faith. And, those are all very important times. One of the things that happened to me when I was in my depression, which I share under the title in the book, The Lion, the Itch, and the Wardrobe, was a hilarious thing that God did to reach inside me when I was estranged from Him and wanted nothing to do with Him. I was hurt. I was wounded, yeah. and my heart had become a stone. And he orchestrated this ridiculous circumstance where I was at the zoo, and I was working as an occupational therapist, and it was lunchtime. So I had on my white uniform, and I was down there to try to just to pick me up. Everything was just falling apart in my life, and I just needed something. And I've always loved God's animals. So I was down at this zoo, and this was when they were in cages back then, before they did the big enclosures like they do now. And you could actually walk right up to them, about 5 feet away from the animals. And I was standing in front of the lion's cages, and this female jumps up off her perch. There she was, kind of lounging around with the other female in the cage, and she leaps up as I walk up, and she zeroes in on me, and she just goes crazy, goes ballistic, trying to claw me and eat me through the bar. She's lunging at me and snarling and growling, and everyone there in front backs up and said, "Whoa, what was that?" And a little boy standing there said, "Lady, what did you do to her?" I said, And, you know, so I finally backed off and went to another part of the zoo, and I started thinking about it. Now, what was that? Was that just my imagination? And, of course, curiosity, I had to go back. So I go back to the cages, and this time there's no one around except me. And I walk a tippy-toe up to the same lion's cage, and the same female jumps up, just, you know, and just has this thing again. She goes back and forth, pacing, snarling, angry, just ready to eat me. And then all of a sudden, I get this uncontrollable itch between my shoulder blades that you just can't quite reach. So I'm contorting myself, trying to reach this thing. And all of a sudden, she stops dead, and she glares at me. And I'm thinking, oh, this is, my skin was crawling. This is like, this is what a giraffe feels like on the Serengeti plain, you know. And she turns around and stares at me over her shoulder and then blasts me with urine like a fire hose.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm telling you, I was dripping head to toe, totally covered.
Oh, my gosh.
My hair is hanging down over my eyes. My feet are swishing in my shoes.
Oh,
and I just stood there feeling like, what was this? And then all of a sudden, the laughter just started bubbling up from somewhere deep inside me. I hadn't laughed in so long. And it was like, I knew then that God loved me. And that is a bizarre thing to say, but I knew that he was orchestrating that whole crazy thing just to make a point to me that I was special to him, and that he was, you know, he cracked that rock of my heart, and it began to crumble at that point. And I was more and more and more open to him after that. And I'm not saying he's going to use the lion spray technique for everyone who's in depression, thankfully. But he knew that that's exactly what I needed, because he knows me better than I know myself, you know?
Oh, my goodness. You're special. You're special.
Saved it just
for you. Yeah.
That's right.
You know, a lot of people think that we have an expectation of being happy, that God wants us to be happy in life. And he does, you know, but it's not the priority. Happiness comes along kind of as a byproduct, you know.
Exactly. He wants us to have his joy, and that is not synonymous with happiness.
No.
Joy is not dependent on our circumstances, and I think that's something that, you know, we can have even through the hard times. We can have the joy of the Lord in our hearts.
Yes.
But we just have to, you know, focus on that.
Amen. If you're looking for some kind of happiness, success in life, money, whatever, and you're not happy otherwise, you're not going to be happy getting all that you thought you wanted.
Oh, you know. So true.
Yeah, you have to have that basic joy down deep in your heart. You know, C.S. Lewis said, God can't give us happiness and peace apart from himself, because there is no such thing. Mm-hmm. Was it Jesus said, I forget my references sometimes, you know, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. You know, who was verse that?
Let not your I know the verse.
Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. God can't give us happiness and peace apart from himself, because there is no such thing. Well, let's talk about your book, Mom Needs Chocolate. It's a Regal Press publication. And your website is www.deborahcody.com. Deborah, D-E-B-O-R-A, no H on the end there, D-E-B-O-R-A, and then Cody, C-O-T-Y, www.deborahcody.com. But what would you say is your best piece of advice for harried moms? You have 60 chapters now, 60 short chapters in this small book, relatively small book. It's 236 pages. But you have 60 short chapters for busy moms, I guess, you know. They can read one, get a piece of encouragement from one chapter pretty quickly. And I guess that's kind of the idea with busy moms. But what's your best piece of advice for harried moms?
I would say draw strength from God, Godiva, and girlfriends.
God, Godiva, and girlfriends.
That
good.
Basically covers it all, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I think that we tend to isolate ourselves as mothers, and we lose touch with the girlfriends, which is, that's important. That's so important. God created women to need that comfort and the encouragement that we can get from one another. And, you know, that's important to connect in some way. And then, of course, God is just the foremost thing that we need in our lives, and we tend to put him on the back page often with all the tyranny of the urgent, the things that we have to do today. We have to do. Don't have time for my Bible study today. And that was one of the reasons why I wrote Mom Needs Chocolate, with the short chapters and with the devotion. It's a devotional style in disguise, basically. It's got a scripture. It's got a body that takes that scripture and shows us how to live out our faith in real life, down in the trenches, faith. And then it ends with a short prayer. And then it also has a little three questions that help us dig in a little bit deeper, faith in action, I call it, and that we can answer to ourselves, or we can even use it in groups and have a Bible study groups do it as a study.
That's great. And this, of course, emphasizes the importance of going to church, and really not just going to church on Sunday, but going on a regular basis and being involved in the church. Find a church you really like, you enjoy, and really get involved in it, because that's where your girlfriends are going to come from. Some people have moved to a new city, you know, and they're alone in a new city, and it'd be easy for them to get depressed over that,
yeah.
And because they don't have a girlfriend. Their girlfriend maybe is way off somewhere, and they can't, maybe a phone call once in a while, you know, but it's hard to get with them. But what's your best advice on maybe making new friends, girlfriends?
Oh, absolutely. I think that's very, very important. So many of us are waiting on someone to reach out to us, But we need to take the initiative and be the one to reach out, and you'll be surprised how many hands will come up to meet yours. Once you do, if you try to connect yourself, you can. If you're good online, you can Google Christian women's groups. There's all kinds of them out there, MOPS, quite a few that I have had the honor of speaking with. And, you know, these are great gals, and they're in the same boat you are, and they want to share lives and share faith and share struggles with each other, because that's how we make it through.
That is so true. Well, we're talking this morning with Deborah Cody. The book is called Mom Needs Chocolate, a Regal Press publication. Go to her website, www.deborahcody.com. Deborah's D-E-B-O-R-A, Cody's C-O-T-Y, deborahcody.com. And as I was introducing you a while ago, I mentioned that you have two children. You still two, right?
Yes, two, Matthew and Christy.
Can
you guess where I named my daughter?
Christy. I can't imagine. Maybe it's from the book Christy by Catherine Marshall.
Yeah. And that's how much impact that book had on me. I even named my daughter after it.
Really? Well, were there times when there were, at that age when they're toddlers, when you have to go to the bathroom and lock the door to be alone, and even then the little fingers are under the door, you know, and they're pounding on the door, knock, 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 mommy, mommy, mommy. You know, were the times when you were about to go crazy? How'd you handle that?
Well, you do go crazy pretty much, but you recover. And one of the things that I emphasize is we need that God time each day, even if it means going in the bathroom and locking the door. That was my mother's God time. I'll never forget as a child, and I was the little girl with my fingers under the door, banging, banging, mama, and her saying, "Go away. This is my God time." And she would be in the bathtub.
And you can't use chloroform either, you know?
Although I considered the guppy technique, which is the devouring your young. But she would sit in the bathtub and pray and read her Bible. She would always leave her Bible sitting there. And that was her God time. And then when I grew up, I did the same thing in my closet. I had a walk-in closet. When my kids were driving me bonkers, I'd go lock the door, sit in my closet, turn my little light on, and have my 5 minutes of God time every day. And that's just, we have to have that to replenish us. And, you know, to regroup and to be able to get back in touch with that regenerating joy of the Lord.
Yes, yes. You know, sometimes there are times when I've had to get alone with the Lord, and, you know, you spend some time in the Word, but also as far as the prayer goes, it was kind of empty to me at those times to just throw prayer requests at the throne, you know. Mm-hmm. But be silent and say, "God, speak to me," and just be quiet and let Him speak.
Absolutely. I think He says the most to us in the silence of the moment. If we open our hearts to Him and listen, yes. I think He really uses that to speak to us.
I think you have a chapter on that, something about shouting in the silence. Or
I love the scripture, "Be still and know that I am God," because we will know, we will feel Him, and we will communicate with Him in that stillness.
Even with toddlers, it's important to be still.
Absolutely. We need the stillness more than ever when we have toddlers.
That's right. Well, as if conquering motherhood and a new career aren't enough, you recently tackled your health and body as well, right?
Yes, I did. I when I turned 50 last year, I took a good look at myself, and I didn't really like what I had done with the temple that I felt like the Lord had given me. It was in disrepair. I was way overweight. And I shouldn't say way overweight, but I was I'm 5 foot tall, so I'm a little short, round girl, and I was a tight size 14, and I also had a tooth that was turning into a unicorn as I got, as I aged, it was getting more and more and more profoundly sticking out there, and I felt like a fang, so I decided at that point, I'm 50, you know, this is, in anybody's book, I'm middle-aged here, so middle-aged, if I live to be 100. So I ended up getting Invisalign braces for my teeth, and everyone had said when you get those, there are little plates that they go in and they're invisible, so supposedly you don't see them, but like braces, but that everyone said you lose 10 pounds because you can't eat with them in. You have to take them out for meals so you don't snack. Well, I said, 10 pounds is not enough. So I went ahead, and I had been for years saying I really should do something about this weight, and so I did, and I went on. I didn't really join Weight Watchers, although I highly advocate that particular organization, because it is a lifetime. That's what my goal. I wanted to do something I could do for the rest of my life. And I ended up doing Weight Watchers Principles, and I lost 40 pounds.
So you watched the Weight Watchers commercial on TV. That's what it was. Okay.
Well, you know, they have good principles, like don't eat a potato bigger than your fist, and your meat needs to be no bigger than the palm of your hand, and the vegetables, and they push, you know, the good foods, and that's what I did, and I was able to stick with that, and I'm still doing it. I've kept the 40 pounds off now a little over a year. And
you lost 40 pounds. That's great.
Yeah, I went down to a size 2, which led me to another whole set of problems. I never knew that small women had such trouble finding adult clothes. Everything out there is cut down to your, you know, I won't even go there, but just ridiculous. It doesn't work. I don't want to show off my tattoos. I don't have any tattoos. And, you know, so that was another whole set of problems. I realized
to show the children's department to buy clothes.
Exactly. But so it's been quite a journey, and I'm very excited about it. But you know, there's some other issues that are related to health that cleared up. My knees, which were troubling me, had, you know, quit hurting, and it's just been a very good thing.
That's great. Well, we have one thing in common. I got braces when I was 40 years old. So every adult ought to, if they haven't done it already, you know, it doesn't cost as much as you might think. It's like $100 a month, you know, until Jesus comes, I guess, but whatever. But, you know, it's worth doing, I think.
Oh, I think absolutely. My self-esteem, the last two book covers that I posed for, my author pictures before I had my teeth done, I wouldn't even open my mouth. And everyone said, "This is not you. You're always smiling. What is that?" And I was so embarrassed about the way that my teeth looked that I just wouldn't even open my mouth. And now I, you know, I'm not conscious of it, and I can not focus on the way I look. I can focus on God, and I can focus on spiritual matters, and that's, to me, the whole point of fixing up the outside so we can focus more on the inside.
That's right. And it's not a matter of being perfect with your diet or exercise or anything like that. You know, you just keep moving in the same direction, I think.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And when you fall down, you kind of fall forward, you know.
Well, anyway, that's the hope.
That's right. You show up. Like Woody Allen said, 90% of life is just showing up.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah. There's a thought from, remember Alexander Solzhenitsyn? He says, a man is as happy as long as he chooses to be happy. There's a lot to say about that. Choices, living by choices, because our feelings, if we live by our feelings, you know, check my happy pulse. How am I feeling now? That we can be beat up by our happy pulse, you know.
That's so true, and I feel that way about joy, too. Joy is a choice we make.
Yeah.
The decision not to continue wallowing in the dully funks. Hmm. It's something that we choose to do, and after we choose to do that, then we will start feeling more joyful after we make the choice to be a joyful person.
That is so good. Even as we said, Patsy Claremont, a Women of Faith speaker, says, fatigued, frenzied, frazzled, sidle up to Deborah's chocolate-covered chapters on life, love, and loony liaisons, and laugh your way back into a place of peace. Boy, that's it. The place of peace.
Patsy is such a delight. She and I both worked together for another book called Heavenly Humor for the Woman's Soul. We both contributed chapters to that, and she is so real. She is such a delightful, wonderful person.
Mm, that's so good. Mom Needs Chocolate is the name of the book. Mom Needs Chocolate. It's a Regal Press publication, and you can go to that website, www.deborahcody.com, and even the emailer if you like to. That email address is on the website. But go to www.deborahcody.com. Deborah is spelled D-E-B-O-R-A. Leave off the H there. D-E-B-O-R-A. Cody is C-O-T-Y. DeborahCody.com. Deborah, good to have you with us on KBJS. It's been fun.
Oh, Randy, it's been a delight. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.